So I didn't say it before, but I'm the youth pastor here. So for you guys who don't know me, my name is Gabe. I'm the youth pastor. And I have a special message for you today, and it's brought to you by the kids. I've had this special privilege of being the youth pastor here for almost 2 years. It's gone by like that. And one of the things that, you know, when I think about being a youth pastor, one of the main missions of being a youth pastor is to reach kids for the gospel. But as the months have gone by, I've kind of expanded that goal to more than just saying an amen to Jesus, but getting kids confident to go out and actually reach other people for the gospel. And that's a lofty goal. And I think a lot of times when you think of, like, you know, especially kids growing in their faith, you know, you realize that confidence is going to come with time. And so you have to be really patient. It can be a hard job, especially trying to be patient, even with myself, though. And they've challenged me to be the best that I can be, which I thank them for. But more importantly, confidence isn't just a thing that young Christians struggle with. I would say that when I look at the church today, when I look at it, you know, in America specifically, I think it's one of the biggest epidemics we have is confidence in what we believe in. The reason I say this is because of my other jobs. I've had a number of part-time jobs since working at this church. Just basic, you know, income. But more than that, I wanted these jobs to be more than just income. I wanted it to be me going out, you know, if I'm going to preach about, you know, these kids going to their high school or wherever and reaching other kids for the gospel, I wanted myself to be a part of that, including my daily work life. So what I found is, it's funny, I've worked a couple, you know, part-time jobs, and I found that a lot of times with these jobs, I feel like, I'm like, when I first get there, I'm the only Christian. And I'm like, wow, it's pretty lonely out here. I know some of you guys feel that way at your jobs. And that's why I think God wanted me to preach to you guys today, is to get that confidence back. Because what I found is, when I'm at these jobs, when I'm working these jobs, I start talking about, you know, little bits and pieces with Jesus, and people know pretty soon that I'm a Christian, and they're like, whoa, you can talk about a lot of things, but when you start talking about Jesus in the workplace, or, you know, mentioning that you're a Christian, some people kind of separate, and there's that natural separation that occurs. But what I found interesting is there was actually a lot of fellow employees who would pull me aside and be like, hey, I'm a Christian too. And like, almost like a secretive thing. Like, and I thought that was cool, but it kind of made me realize that a lot of people, a lot of your peers you see around you, there's Christians out there who are kind of withdrawn from society, withdrawn from being confident in who they are. And personally, I think being Christian and not confident should be an oxymoron. And so today I'm going to be talking about something that's very challenging, something that's been on my heart heavy, which is having confidence in what we believe in and not being an undercover Christian, which I've seen a lot of. So with that being said, if we could pull out, someone's having a bad day. If we could pull up the scripture, Hebrews 10 is where I'm going to start with. The author of Hebrews here is talking to a church in a similar situation, a church that's going through a crisis, a church that's trying to live out their Christian life, trying to be who they're meant to be in Christ, and they're getting some pushback, they're getting some resistance, and they're having a hard time with confidence. So the writer of Hebrews is talking to this church, and he's trying to instill confidence in them. So, reading from Hebrews 10 here, it says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. So I believe that all Christians, all of you, and there's some of you in the room that I'm speaking directly to, have been at work, have been in places where you don't feel confident in being who you are as a Christian. You don't feel confident in expressing that. Sure, we can come here on Sunday and feel confident in front of all our peers, but what about Monday through Saturday? You know, what's that like? So I think every time we're outside of the church, we have a decision to make. We have a decision to to picture where our focus is at. And here it says we will be richly rewarded and that we just need to persevere. But I think before we get into why we should be confident, we need some context. And we need to understand that the author is not just saying, hey, you need to be confident. He's saying that our focus needs to lie solely on Christ. And this is why. Specifically, I believe the writer of Hebrews was talking about a crisis. What do you focus on? Do you find it troubling to speak out? Do you find it troubling in places in society to be a Christian? Well, it's because you don't have the right context. And the author gives us a reason. He gives us a reason about why we should focus on Christ. Because it's nice to know that we should say amen to Christ, right? Everyone knows that. But why should we focus on him? And the reason is because of his superiority. It's a superiority that's important. He's saying Christ is better than everything. He's better than the movies. He's better than anything on this world that you can picture. And that's a bold statement to make. But if we're not putting our focus on him in all situations, then we're going to have a skewed view of the world, and our confidence is going to suffer. So, I don't think, just further context for this, in the Old Testament times, people would come and they would have confession with sacrifices. And I didn't see any of you guys pull in today with any animal sacrifices or doves this morning. And so, why is that? The reason behind that is because we have confidence in who we have. Confidence in Christ is enough. And that's important. It's important to know. And the same way the author wants to reestablish your confidence. See, the fact of the matter is, as Christians, we can lose our confidence. And that's what I want to address today, is I feel like some people in this room have lost their confidence. Some of you guys may have came here today like wondering if this is really what you want to follow. If this is, you know, you feel like you've been battered down. If you feel like it's just really hard to walk the Christian life, I want to like boost your confidence. And I'm reminded of Job when I was going through this and writing this sermon. I was reminded of Job, which I read with the youth group a couple of months ago, and that he lost everything. And some of you guys may be going through a crisis, maybe big or small, but he lost everything. But his confidence in the Lord, he still had some confidence in the Lord, despite his doubts, despite his friends saying, like, where is your God? Where are you? You must have done something wrong. He focused on the Lord, and the Lord doubled what he had previously. And I guess what I want to note with Job is that a lot of times the devil, he cannot get your calling in your life, but he tries to attack your confidence. It's one of his main tasks, is to attack your confidence in God by attacking the things around you. And in this way, he can actually keep you from functioning in your calling. See, we all have a calling from God, which is important. We all know this. But at the same time, is that if you don't have your confidence, you can't function in your calling. The devil can't take that from you, but he can take your confidence. To give you some Old Testament context, back to context again, let me pull up 2 Samuel 23 through 20. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, I don't know the exact pronunciation for that, still working on that, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Now, I brought this up for two reasons. One, you know, we were talking about Daniel last week, so I need a lion reference. Keep on the same theme, try to connect it. But two, when I read this verse, I mean, you see a man here, Benaniah, who's he's one of David's closest, you know, confidants, one of the men. He's a warrior, much like David. And here, he was known, this is what he was known for, basically killing mighty warriors, and also, he also went down into a pit and chased down a lion. He didn't defend himself against a lion, he actually went and hunted a lion, which is like the exact opposite of what you would imagine. It should be the other way around, right? And I love this verse because he's talking about having basically great courage, great confidence in the Lord in your calling in life. Benaniah was a warrior. That was his calling in life. That's what God had gifted him with. And he had 100% confidence in that. Same with David. David was a shepherd boy, which wasn't a big deal. And then Samuel came and anointed David. And when he anointed him, he gave him that promise. He gave him a promise that one day he would be king. And from that promise, it blossomed one day to the point where he went and we all know the story of David and Goliath, where he trusted in the Lord so much that he would go and do the unthinkable, despite his circumstances. And I want this type of confidence. And I feel like as Christians, we need that type of confidence, that word of confidence to go out in the world, no matter what we face, no matter what circumstances we face, no matter our job and the people around who surround us, who may not like that we're Christian, or, you know, if you speak up, you may get hated on. But that's the type of confidence I want to see in the church, and I want to see it now. I want to see it come through this generation, because I think that's something that's lacking. And by the way, this is before Christ, and this is the type of confidence they had. This is the Old Testament. So, the only way we can operate with confidence is by keeping our focus on Christ at all times. But ultimately, I believe we lose confidence because we lose context of where we are at. For example, in the news, you know, we keep hearing it's like the worst time to be alive. It's, everything's going wrong, and you keep hearing this theme in the media. And I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to have seen that story before, that storyline before. I'm like, really, is it the worst time to be alive? And when I think of other countries, transitions of power, you know, that only occurs when there's blood in the street. So if you put it in context, America's not that bad. But that's context, right? Some of you guys have had been in relationships where possibly you've had somebody who has done a million things and for you, but they did one thing wrong and you wrote them out of your life, despite the hundreds of things that made you love them in the first place. I know I did with people close to me before. And when you put it in context, you realize that your thinking is twisted. Also, go back in the context, go back in the biblical context. Think about Eve in the garden. Eve, in context, you know, what did the devil say? He said, did God really say that? See, he twisted God's words out of context to make Eve doubt her confidence in what God said. And this is why I want to talk to you guys about this today, because I feel like it's such a prevalent thing in the day-to-day Christian life that a lot of people don't talk about. He would try to twist things out of context to attack your confidence. We're going to back up a bit in Hebrews 19. I want to back it up to give you just a little bit more context. So in verse 19, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, here we have, in verse 19, he is basically encouraging this community of faith that is in identity crisis. They're losing things because of their faith. They're losing friends because of their faith. They're in a place where they feel like they're withdrawn. And that's exactly what the enemy wants from us. He wants us withdrawn from society. He wants us withdrawn from those closest around us. He wants us not to talk about stuff with other people. He wants us not to talk about and be a Christian at our workplace. He wants us not to do those things. He wants us to feel like we're just in a box. And here, the author of Hebrews is saying no. He's trying to instill confidence. And so, we have confidence, but and we all have it, and it says that in here, through the blood of Jesus. But we may not be accessing it. So where does confidence lay? We have a new covenant, not the old covenant, not the one we had to do animal sacrifice, but we have a new covenant available at all time, which is amazing. And Jesus, see, in the Old Testament, in order to get in the presence of God, a priest had to come in and basically become purified in order just to get in the presence of God, or he would die. How many people like the new covenant a little bit better? Me too. So we have this access, we have this amazing thing that they didn't have. That's what the author of Hebrews is trying to say, is that we have this at all times. We have this access to Jesus. We have this power and this confidence that we don't even know we can access half the time. Instead, we have a lot of Christians who are kind of undercover, thinking that the world's so evil and it's scary and there's all this stuff going on and it's just, I'm done with it. And that's the exact opposite of how we should act. We should be the most confident people around. And so, this part that I read is talking about the relationship, about what God says about our relationship. It's very important to note. And now I'm going to read, actually I already read that part. The writer also, before he tells us to keep our confidence, he's telling us where our confidence comes from. And he mentions a couple things to keep confidence. One, he mentions our conscience. He says, your conscience has to be right to be confident. And I haven't found anything more, like, I guess, real in my life, in my walk with Christ than that. In fact, every time I've ever preached, I've had to come to God with something. Because for me, I can't preach, I can't come up here and talk to you guys, I can't talk to the youth, I can't be the best I can be if my conscience is not clear in front of God. And I'll be honest, there's times when I haven't felt like doing something, or I haven't felt like coming to God with a burden or something that's really like, I can't believe I did that, you know. But that clear conscience is so important. Some of you guys have relationships you might need to mend to come to God. Forgiveness is something I talked about before. And the reason why conscience is so important is because we need that place of surrender with God to be right with God. Otherwise, Christian confidence becomes about obeying rules, which we can never do. That's the Old Testament. So we have this high priest that we need to access. We have this ability to access Jesus that we didn't have before in the Old Testament, where we'd have to sacrifice and do all these things. We have this ability to do that. Number two, we need community. And actually, before I get to community, I want to make this point, which is that a lot of the times the enemy will attack our confidence so we don't go to him, that we really don't believe that we're forgiven. But the fact is, if you have confidence in the Lord, you know you're already forgiven, that we've already made it, and that you can be made exactly clean. So number two is we need community. And he talks about having a community. He talks about lifting others up and encouraging others. And I really believe that if I did not have a community here at this church specifically, I'm talking about Jay and other people around me who've like helped mentor me, that I actually might have slipped back into the way I was living before. And the reason I, or at least tempted to go back to living the life I was living. And the reason I said that is because you need people around you who are going to encourage you, because you're going to go out in the world and you're going to have people who discourage you. And I've had friends, I've lost friends, I've had coworkers who don't want to talk to me, I've had people discourage me. And so you need a community to help spiritually build you up. And so for me, it's been something that's been very important. And it's not just for me, it's for everyone here. And if you're not in a small group, get in a small group. And if you don't have Christian friends, find them. They're here. And I'm here to talk to you afterward if you need help. Another thing is that I want you to know on a personal level that times I've lacked confidence, and times those of us in this church have lacked confidence in our abilities. And many times, when I've been trying to follow the Lord on His path, it seems that there's no light. And a lot of times, it seems like when I'm walking with Him, or a lot of times when I'm actually trying to pursue His path, that I've been attacked in just about every way imaginable. But I want you to know that you don't have to let your lack of confidence define the depth of your ceiling. Because in those times, when you're getting attacked, it means that you're close to His purpose and His purpose for you. And some of you guys are at that Hebrews 10 crossroads right now, wondering if it's even worth it to follow Christian values, if it's even worth it to really not give in to temptation. I'm here to revitalize you guys and say it is. And the author says if you just press on a little more, he will come. And many times, if you're feeling that pressure or feeling that fire, like I said, it's a sign that you're close to the promise you have been praying for. So many times in my life, I felt like I was at the very, like I'm at the very bottom, and then he does something amazing. And I feel like that's to increase our faith, to add faith to us. So, just to recap, the blood of Jesus, we have the blood of Jesus to be confident. And you have that. You have that promise. That's what the author is saying. You have that promise in Jesus. With that, you can receive a clear conscience. And you can also be among a community of believers, which we are doing right now, to support us and to grow in that. And to also be outspoken about who we are. And what I've noticed most about this is when you do these things over and over, when you come to Jesus over and over with your sins, with the things you've done wrong, and you keep clearing your conscience, sometimes it feels like you're just like, man, I can't keep anything straight. But that's how it's supposed to be, because we need Jesus. We need him. And that's fine. When you do these things over and over, when you have a community that you lean on, when you have someone close to you that you can lean on and be honest with, be like, you know, this happened, help support me, help pray for me. When you keep praying prayers over and over, when you do these things, that builds confidence. Confidence, one of the truest things I've ever heard is confidence comes from consistency. I had a coach who used to say that. And as a former athlete, I found that the only way I could ever be confident on the field was through consistency. As simple as that. And a lot of times it doesn't transition. It transitions in everything in life, but a lot of times we don't transition that into our prayer life. A lot of times we don't transition that into our worship or our servant life. And so, also sometimes confidence is just about looking back. It's another thing that the author wanted to remind us of, is looking back to the right thing, which is looking back to the cross. See, a lot of times in my life, I can get so focused on the future and where I'm not at, and I need to get to this, and I'm not there yet, that I just need to look back to the cross. So when you're ever feeling lost, look back at the cross. And I'd actually like to have three volunteers come up. Nate, Isaac, I know. Is Justin still around? Is he still around somewhere? In just a second, I'll have three volunteers come up. But on many occasions, you know, I felt tired or sick or downtrodden by circumstances, even now, and prayed to God like, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And it's funny because the Spirit of the Lord always reminds me of one thing, and that is to look back at my past. And a lot of times, you know, people say don't look back at your past. Like, you know, it's not good to look back there. But a lot of times my past with God has helped me. And so he reminds me of when I had to walk to work because I didn't have enough money to put in my gas car. But I was, like, skipping to work because I was just so happy with my relationship with God. And nowadays I can get, like, upset about the smallest things. But back then I couldn't even pay, you know, I had to walk an hour and a half to get to work every day. And I was dead broke. But I had this new relationship with God, and I was trusting him to move mountains, which he did. And I want us to get back to that place, back to that place. I want you to think about your walk with Christ right now. I kind of want you to picture and look back at where you were and how far you've come. And I want you to remind you guys not to grow weary of that walk. And so the problem, I believe, with many Christians today is not that we don't necessarily believe in Jesus. I think we all say amen to Jesus. Every Sunday we believe in Jesus. It's that we get discouraged and what I would like to call the space. So can I get like three? I just need three people to stand up here. You don't need to say anything. Just stand up here. Thank you, Nate. That's one, two. Thank you. Okay, cool. So let's have here Josh and Nate. You come over here. So we'll put you right here. You're good. And then you're about like, you face that way. What? You face that way real quick. Yeah, okay, cool. So we have this thing called a space. You just chill there for a second. You'll be good. All right, so we have this thing called a space, right? There's a space. This is where we're at right now, right? And a lot of us get distracted with, like, we can't get to where we want to be, right? This is where we want to be with all our future dreams and aspirations and things that we feel like God is calling us to do. And we can't get there, and the devil attacks us saying, you'll never get there, you'll never be there, you're not good enough, you're not talented enough, and nothing, these things aren't going to happen for you. And so we get so discouraged, and we kind of just stay here because in our shell of who we are as a Christian, because we can't get to where we want to be, and it feels like it's just never going to happen. And I've been there a lot. And it doesn't get easier a lot of the times, that mental doubt in your head. But there, we have something in Christ that's awesome, is that when we look back at the cross, when we look back at our life and walk, we can have confidence in what he's done in our life. So here, Isaac, come over here. So Isaac represents where you started, when you started walking with Christ. And I know for myself, I came a long way. So when I can look back at where I started, I can look back, I can have confidence in what God's done in my life and what God's going to continue to do, and that he can move mountains, and that increases our faith. You guys can sit down. Thank you, guys. Good job. So if we could put that last scripture up. So I kind of want to end on this note, is that we don't have to wait for Jesus to come back to have confidence. And we're not sitting here and be like, Jesus, please come back, like, in our rooms, like, kind of in a bubble. I don't believe that's how we're meant to live. I believe we're meant to live, in a way, chasing that lion, chasing people for the gospel, and reaching people for it. And it might look differently than actually chasing down a lion and killing it, but it's something that's meant to be exciting, something that's meant to challenge us. And for me, at least in my workplace, in the places I've been, it's been like something that's probably the biggest excitement and challenge of my life, is actually reaching people and going out in the world and chasing people for the gospels. And one of my biggest excitements in my life is seeing the youth and the young people actually go out and do that, and actually hearing back from them about their experiences to do that. But my, I guess, prompt for you guys is, you know, many of you are here as adults. Many of you have been walking for Christ for a long time. And I'm just asking, what is he calling you to do? Who is he calling you to reach? And this, all of you guys can do something. All you guys still have a purpose. We still have time. Don't grow weary. We don't have to wait for him to come back. We can believe in him now. We can have confidence in him now. And we can go after this thing right now. And so this message, this sermon that, you know, I've decided to preach, is meant to hopefully instill confidence in what you guys can do right now and reaching people for the gospel, and to not be afraid. Never be afraid, because we have something that people need, something that people desperately need, even if they don't act like they do. It's deep in their heart. And all you need to do is look at your life and see where God took you. If that doesn't put something right there, if it doesn't put some fire right there, then I don't know what will. So right now, I'd just like to take this time to just end in prayer. Just bow our heads real quick. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this Youth Sunday. I thank you for the youth that we have. I thank you for all those who help out. I thank you for this community of people that have been so strong, helping myself and helping each and every one of your sons and daughters. I pray that this community here can go out and reach the community in Reno, the community outside of Reno in the world. I pray for Jay. I pray for those traveling. I pray for those ministers who are out in other worlds spreading the gospel for your name, who are suffering for your name, just to put it in context. Father, I just pray that we can continue to grow in whatever calling we have and be ultimately confident in you, that your work is done on the cross, that we can look back at the cross at all situations and know that we are victorious in you, and we have nothing to fear, nothing to hide away from. Lord, let us chase that lion, whatever calling it is, chase that lion down, whatever our dreams are that you've put on our hearts, that you reveal those to us in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, in the coming years. And we pray that we do all these things, ultimately, in your name. Amen.